Want to experience Christ United like never before? Download our app today. You can watch live and previous messages, take sermon notes, get calendar updates, find giving options, and more. Just go to your app store and search Christ United.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information on our church, check out christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following at ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
And so, is there ever a time for you when it is not well? Has there ever been a time for you when you're like, oh God, it feels so not well. It feels actually where I've got into a place that it feels hopeless. If you've ever been there, today's message may be really, really impactful for you. I remember being there, and it all started on a day that probably felt filled with promise and filled with hope. I woke up early, think I had an early class at Coastal, but I came downstairs, and when I saw my mother's face, I knew it wasn't going to be well. And I knew that things were bad. And what had happened is my stepfather had left the house the night before, gone and gotten in his twin-engine Cessna plane and flew out of the Conway Airport, but had never arrived at his destination in Pennsylvania. Bye, sweetheart. And as that was happening for him, we didn't know where he was, and there was a little bit of hope that maybe he had to land at an airport somewhere where there was not a phone, and we just kept wishing and hoping and praying. Then they sent out rescue search crews, and for a day or so, we were just waiting to see or hear anything, and there was still hope. And then they said they had spotted the plane, and we didn't know where, we didn't know anything, but they had spotted it. There was a lot of hope. And then they said that the plane had crashed into the side of the mountain, and so hope started going down. But then somebody said there's a body beside a tree, and it's the man beside a tree. And we thought, well, maybe he's okay. Maybe he's leaned against that tree and he's okay. And then as time went on, we just got news back that they said the body is deceased. And then somebody called us and said, they can't know that until they get there. There's still hope. And so we just pumped up the hope that it's going to be okay. And then finally got the message that they had arrived and found that the way they said it is he's deceased. And man, I remember just that when you get to that place where you've been holding out hope and holding out hope against hope, and then all of a sudden there's no more hope and it's gone. That's where the nation of Israel was. They were in a place where they had hope. They had messed up real bad. And because of that, the people of Judah had actually been attacked by foreign nations and several different nations coming against them. And finally, the Egyptians had come in about 597 BC and taking them over and taking a bunch of them into exile in Babylon. And among them was Ezekiel, who's this prophet who later spoke. And Ezekiel is in exile, meaning taken away from his homeland. They're still hoping, though. And he's telling them, no, don't be hoping, because Jerusalem's going to be taken. And sure enough, in 588, they laid siege to Jerusalem, 588 BC, and that means that there was no food getting in, no stuff, and 2 years later, Jerusalem fell, but they're still hoping somehow there's going to be this turnaround. But in 586, in July, I think, is when the city fell and the gates were busted through and the people were taken over. But then by August, they burned the city and the temple. So get this picture. They're like, we kept having a little bit of hope, a little bit of hope, but now the city has been burned. The temple has been burned. There's nothing there. It's now hopeless. There's no way we're going to get anything. And God would give Ezekiel these visions to help capture what was happening. And here was the vision that he gave to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37. And you're going to be reading this little passage in your C group this week and talking about it. You're going to love it. But it says, the hand of the Lord was on me. And he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. Get the picture that God was giving of utter hopelessness. If they had been bodies that might have been resuscitated or could have still been alive, it would have been one thing. They might have could even been in the condition that Lazarus was, a man that Jesus had gone to actually rescue, who was dead for 4 days in the tomb. His sister actually said, don't go in the tomb. It's going to have an odor. He's already decaying. The hope is gone. Well, this is beyond decay. This is dry bones, no tendons, no meat, no flesh, just dry bones. It was God's way of saying, right now these people are in absolute, utter hopelessness. Have you ever been in absolute, utter hopelessness? What God said to Ezekiel was, he said, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We're cut off. There's no way it's going to be okay now." Have you ever been there? It's like, "God, I've lost too much. I've gone too far. I messed up too bad. I've tried so long for so hard for so long. I've just finally realized it ain't going to happen. I've just given up hope." And it could be physically. It's beyond the cancer diagnosis. Now there's metastasis and they say the chemo isn't working and you're just like feeling hopeless. Or it might be a relationship that not only are we estranged, but we hadn't talked in 2 years and my efforts to reach out are not bringing anything. Or maybe we're past arguments and now we've already got divorce papers at work. Or maybe you've been divorced 3 or 4 times and you're just thinking, "There's no hope for me. I just don't think there's any way it's going to be okay." And if that's you and you're feeling that, it might be that you're feeling that as a single person. Like it's not just that I'm single. It's I hadn't had a date in 2 years and I'm in my late 40s or 50s and I'm feeling like it's never going to happen for me. Or you might be a person who's past having lost a job. You've been applying for jobs. You've applied for 30 or 40 jobs. You've had 5 or 6 interviews and turned down every time. And finally, you're just feeling hopeless. It might be that you're feeling that way academically. Like, "Man, I kept messing up. I kept hoping. I kept trying. I thought I would be able to do it. But now I flunked out. I'm out. I don't think there's any way I'm ever going to get there." Maybe it's that way for you in terms of an addiction. Maybe you're a person who it's not that I've messed up. It's that, man, I've relapsed like 30 times and I've been in treatment 3 or 4 times and it just feels like there's no hope for me to ever overcome this. Maybe it's just spiritually. It's beyond moral failure. I have failed over and over and over again. And I bet I've told myself 1,000 times over years, "I'm not going to do that again." And I keep doing it again. And so you feel a feeling of hopelessness. And the reason you feel a feeling of hopelessness is you are right there in that picture that God is describing through Ezekiel. In fact, that's the condition of all of us ultimately, as we finally realize that we are hopeless. We're powerless to get it right. We're powerless to make everything as it should be in our lives. It's described this way in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. He says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts." All of us have been there, spiritually dead. Not like, "I can probably get this right. I can work hard enough. I can get it good." It's like we're just hopeless. Spiritually dead. We're like Lazarus. We stink. We're already decaying. No, we're past that. We're to dry bones. There's no hope. But no hope is not what you might think it is, because no hope, if people truly lose hope, they lose their lives. But when you realize that you're humanly hopeless, that's the perfect time for God to enter and show you that there is still hope, because that's when you find hope in Him. And so God says to Ezekiel, He says, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And the obvious answer to that is, can these bones live? They're dry bones. There's no way they can live. Humanly impossible. But when it is humanly impossible is the time when God moves in to do what only God can do. And so Ezekiel's response to him is to say, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." You know what he means by sovereign Lord? God, you're in control of everything. You're sovereign over everything. Nothing is too hard for you. If you say there's hope, there's hope. Now get this. Today, you're going to realize something, that in whatever area it is in your life where you felt hopeless, particularly if that is spiritually hopeless, it's not a bad place to be, because that brings you to Him to say, "God, I can't do it on my own. There is no hope in me or in my strength or the strength of those around me. But if you say there's hope, there's hope." And God says to you, there is so much hope. And the reality that God can do absolutely anything means that there's absolutely no person beyond His reach. Nobody here. Without God, everybody is hopeless. But with God, nobody is beyond hope. There's absolutely no one that doesn't have infinite hope in Him, because that is what He has said from the beginning of Scripture to the end. He said, "I love it when you feel hopeless, because that's when I'm ready to do something in your life that only I can do." And so right now, understand this. That if you're a person who feels far from God and you feel like you've messed it up and you feel maybe abandoned by God, that's where the people were that Ezekiel was speaking to. That's the same place the people were who Jeremiah was talking to when Jeremiah was told by God to say this in Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God has said it from the beginning of Scripture to the end, and you're hearing it today. He's saying, listen, I'm telling you, I don't care who you are, where you've been, how bad it's messed up. I am telling you that I've got good plans for you. My desire for you is to show my glory in your life by doing what only I can do. There is hope, huge hope. And so Jeremiah went on to say this to God in Jeremiah 32, 17. He said, ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. There is no one beyond your reach. And there is no power, there is no situation that you can't bring hope into. Even the power of death has no power. I want you to think about when Lazarus had been dead for 4 days and there was an odor in the tomb. He was already decaying. Jesus knew there was hope. Not even death takes away hope. Even when I got the message that my stepfather had died, God moved in. And man, I watched him bring hope on top of hope. And it's so beautiful to know and to see God at work in such a way that I know that that plane accident didn't even take away his life. Because in Christ, the reality is that he lives and I'm going to see him again. And all that beautiful truth. And even when my mom, who was tear-stained that morning, later died of ovarian cancer, that ovarian cancer didn't win. I've seen people healed of ovarian cancer. I've seen people go through all sorts of things, and God showed that there's always hope. But even in her death, there was hope on top of hope and beautiful things that God has done and will do. And when you meet my mother one day, she'll tell you like she told me just before she died. She said, the last 2 years of my life were the best I ever had, and they were the two in which I was dying of cancer. Because God, there is nothing that he can't bring hope into. And God's saying to you right now, don't you understand that what I want to do is not just tell you there may be hope. I'm telling you there's a promise of hope. And in fact, I'm telling you that not only am I answering the question, yes, can these bones live? He's saying, I'm telling you they are going to live. Listen to what he said to Ezekiel. When Ezekiel said, sovereign Lord, only you know, our only hope is you. Then God said, okay, then if you think your only hope is me, let me tell you what I'm going to do. He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you. And you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. He's saying, I'm going to do this thing. I'm getting ready to do something in your absolute utter hopelessness that is going to show you that I am God. And it's going to show the people around you that I am God. I'm going to do it. I'm not just saying, yes, there might be hope. I'm saying, I am giving you not just hope, but promise. And I'm telling you what I'm going to do in your life. And you know what is so cool is he's speaking to dry bones. And right now, he's speaking to dry bones in this place. To some of you who haven't listened to him in a long, long time. And he's rocking your world right now and saying, guess what? You're not here by accident. You're here because I'm going to do something in you that's going to prove to you that I am God. That I am on the throne. And you're going to see me at work in your life starting today. And so listen. Yeah, you can give God a hand. As you think about that reality, all that Ezekiel then did was just trust him and do what God said do. And then God did what God said God was going to do. And so he said, I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. And all of a sudden, the rattling of bones and things are moving and coming together. And I'm watching what was a mess and hopeless. And I'm watching it come to full bodies. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, oh my God, this is so amazing. Look at your power. And right now, there's something weird happening in this place. Because right now, all of a sudden, things you thought could never connect, things you thought could never happen, places where you thought there could never be hope, he's rattling some bones right now and saying to you, yes, there is hope. There is hope for your addicted loved one. There is hope for your financial situation. There is hope for you where you are right now. And as you feel that happening, watch what God is saying to you. He's saying, look, I'm telling you, I'm promising you, I'm going to do this thing. And I'm going to be glorified in it. When he was speaking to the Israelites, here's what he told them he was going to do for them. He said, therefore prophesy to them saying, this is what the Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. He's saying, I'm going to do something and I'm going to do something in you and through you. And you and everybody around you is going to know that I'm God. And that might be in a relationship, or that might be in your finances or your education or in your work. It might be in your physical body. It might, whatever he's going to do in you, he's just saying, I'm going to show that I'm God in and through you. And I love it when you're hopeless. The most beautiful place you can be is at a place where you can't do it. And he says, I want to do something in you that will prove to everybody that I'm real, not that you're great. And so probably the most beautiful places I ever was 10th grade year of high school when I had failed 3 classes, dyslexic, unable to, ADD, off the chain, cannot even think straight. And God says, how about if I just work in you and I bring you to a place to where you don't have just a master's degree, but you've got a doctorate degree? How about if you graduate from college with honors, with high honors, in fact? How about if you do that? Because if you do that, then everybody who knows how stupid you are is going to know that God is real. Right? And so listen, God's just saying, he's saying to you, I want to do in you what you can't do. But listen, when he starts to do what you can't do, he doesn't do it from the outside. He does it from the inside. What God did for me was not to plant some new brain cells in my head. It wasn't that he gave me some study technique that was going to make everything work for me. What he did is he came on the inside and said, you got an inside problem. And you got an inside problem that needs to be dealt with. And if I get that dealt with, then you'll be able to have an overcoming spirit. And you'll be able to actually do what you couldn't have done otherwise if I work within you. So he had to do 2 things for me. And these are the things that he had told these people of Israel he was going to do. This is how he was going to breathe life into them and raise them up and make them new creations. He said, I'm going to sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. He was saying to those people of Judah, he was saying, look, I am going to first clean you up. No matter what you've done, it's going to be forgiven and it's going to be gone. You're going to be spotless. How many people here would like to be spotless today? Absolutely spotless. But then he said, but I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to put a new spirit in you. I'm going to remove from you your heart of stone, your dead people, but I'm going to bring you to life. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to work in you from the inside out, and you're going to have new life. But how many people here have heard that? And you've been in a place where I've been in sermons and I've heard it and I felt it and I heard the bones rattling and I had all this hope and it ended up taking me nowhere. I went right back to the same stuff, the same junk. I've begun to not have any faith in this whole process because I've heard the rattling before and it's never brought about a real change in my life. And the powerful thing about this experience of Ezekiel is that is exactly where the place of these people as he saw them. The bones have rattled. They've come together. There's been tendons and there's flesh and there's skin on them. But there's no breath in them. They're just laying there. Their lifeless bodies laid in the dust. And there's been a miracle, yes, but they have not yet come to life. And that's where so many people in this room have been. You come and you hear what God wants to do and he wants to change your life and he wants to make all things new and he wants to work in your relationships and in your finances and he wants to work in your spirit and your spiritual life and work to overcome addictions and you're going like, yes, 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 yes. And as that miracle happens, you end up like that lifeless body. Everything looks okay, but you still don't have any power. You look like you've got it together, but you really don't. The way that Paul described it to Timothy is he said that these people have a form of godliness but deny its power. Is there anybody having a form of godliness but denying its power? Do you know that you look like you've got it going on, but there's really no power at work in your life and you're like that lifeless body laid in the dust? And you're going like, God, this is just such a waste. And the same thing brings you to that place of you're living in Romans chapter 7 verse 19 where he says this, For what I do is not the good I want to do, nor the evil I don't want to do. This I keep on doing. Are you there? Are you at a place where it's like, I just keep on doing the same stuff over and over again, and I'm like that lifeless body. I'm like that person who just can't get it right, and I can't see a real change within me. And you're wondering, why? Why is it that I can't? And the answer is it's just like that beautiful vision that was given to Ezekiel. God's done a miracle in giving you hope and bringing some things together and helping you to see the way it should be, but you have not yet come to life because you have not yet received from Him and offered yourself to Him in such a way that He actually brings you to life. There's still no breath in you. Now, there's breath physically. There was breath physically in those people. They were just spiritually dead. And you're still spiritually dead. You're still powerless. You have a form of godliness, but you deny its power. And if you're in that place, listen to what God says to Ezekiel next. He says, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. And He's doing it as an illustration. They're already physically alive. He's saying, I'm calling you to call on something that's going to make them spiritually alive. God breathed the breath of physical life into you already. He needs to now breathe into you the life of spiritual breath to bring you spiritually to life. And so He explained it in verse 14 when He said, I will put My Spirit in you and you will live. I'm going to come in and do things in you that only I can do. And until I do that, you're still dead. Until I come in and give you life, you may be physically alive, but you're spiritually dead. But you need to invite Me in, offer yourself to Me, and receive this gift that I am giving you so that you'll have the power to actually come alive spiritually. And so that promise is what happened whenever the disciples who Jesus was going to send out to change the world, when He was going to send them, He says in John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent Me, I am sending you. And with that, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He's saying, look, you're going to do awesome things. You're going to be spiritually powerful. But the only way you're going to do that is by My Spirit working in you. You can have all the form of godliness that you want, but without My Spirit in you, you're dead. You're powerless. So He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. You wonder, why did He breathe on them and say, receive the Holy Spirit? You know what is beautiful? Is earlier in the book of John, we had learned that Jesus was with the Father when the whole creation was spoken into order. He spoke and spun the universe into order. He breathed physical life into Adam and Eve and into every one of us here. It's effortless for Him. He's saying, I've got a gift to give you and all I have to do is give it. You know all you got to do? Receive it. And that is not just for the prophets and the apostles. That gift is a gift to every human being on the planet. It was what was said through Joel the prophet and quoted by Peter. In the last days, God said, I will pour out My Spirit on all people. I want to fill every single one of you. You need Me to give you life. Apart from Me, you are lifeless bodies. You have an appearance of godliness, but you deny its power. And I'm telling you, you need to receive the gift of My Spirit. It's not some magic incantation you have to do. It's not some spiritual level you have to reach to be able to be filled with His Spirit. He desires to fill every one of you with His Spirit as much as He has desired to fill you with the breath of life itself. And it is as easy for Him to fill you with His Spirit as it is for Him to give you the breath of life. And He's saying, what you need to do is receive it. And you need to receive it now. You need to receive it today. You need to say to God, right now I offer myself to You and I accept and receive the gift that You have wanted to pour out into my heart. Come, take this life and give Me spiritual life. Now God's desire to do that is stronger even than your desire to receive that. And you know what happens when you do? We have this hope of the glory of God that even in our suffering we can rejoice. Because we have the hope that we're actually going to bring glory to God. We're actually going to do things that only God can do are going to be done in and through our lives. And we're going to bring glory to God through that process. And He says this about that hope, the hope of the glory of God, the hope of you and I being, how would you like to be the man that you know God created you to be, or the woman God created you to be, or the boy or girl that God created you to be? How would you like to have victory over the temptations that have kicked your behind for years? How would you like to actually step out in love love like Jesus loves and do the things that only God can do, and those things be done in your life. He said, that's what I want to do in you. I want to do it for every one of you, and that's the hope that I want to give you, is that you are going to be that person and that you are going to succeed and your marriage is going to be healed and you are going to get it right, and your finances and your life and the difference that you always thought you could make, I'm going to work in and through you, and you're going to do things that you never thought possible, immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine. That's the will of God for your life. And he says, and this hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see that? He's saying, I've given you hope, but that hope will not disappoint you because I'm going to put my Spirit in you, and by my Spirit in you, you're going to live this life, guys. You're going to actually experience me doing in you what only I can do. And so he said it this way to Ezekiel. And Ezekiel prophesied as he was commanded. And he said, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. So now they've gone from these lifeless bodies that have a form of life but really aren't alive, and now he's breathed on them. He's called the breath to enter them, and now they are alive, and they stand up on their feet, a vast army. I want you to notice something. Here's the problem. Here's why it's never worked for you. Here's why no matter how many trips to the altar you've taken, no matter how many times you've said some kind of prayer, no matter how many times you've gone through this process, you've always come back feeling like it didn't work. It didn't work. It didn't change. It's because you have been this lifeless body laying on a dusty floor, and God is saying, I'm calling you to rise up. I'm calling you to allow my Spirit to work within you, and I'm calling you to get up on your feet, and I'm calling you to be in the same place that massive army was. Picture it, guys. They're all standing at attention, and they're ready. Do you realize that that moment was not when everything was finished? That moment is when the battle began. Victory was promised. Do you understand? Victory was promised on the other side of that. They knew they would win no matter what, but they stood up and the battle began. Your problem is you come to the altar and you think you should get up and the battle is over. You come to the altar and pray, God, fix my finances. You think that means that you're going to win the Reader's Digest sweepstakes and you're not going to have any problems, and somebody you choose isn't going to have problems for generations to come because you're going to name them, right? That ain't going to happen. And that's not what God is saying. God is saying, I'm going to give you the power to stand. I'm going to give you the ability to obey me. I'm going to give you the ability to get up on your feet, stand at attention, ask me for my next command, obey it and follow it. I'll give you the strength to obey me. And so that means, if you're thinking that, I pray for my marriage and I get home and I'm expecting my wife to throw a lip lock on me and say, you're the sexiest, most wonderful guy that ever lived and everything's going to be great. The reality is he's not saying that. He's saying you're going to go home to a wife who hates your guts because you've been a jerk for the last decade. And so I'm going to give you the strength to be the man that you were called to be. And I'm going to give you the strength to do it in the face of your wife's anger and whatever she's going through until your marriage is brought back together as God intended it to be. When God worked in my life and he started working with a kid who's flunked three classes in his 10th grade year, it wasn't that all of a sudden God magically made it so that everything made sense. He gave me the strength to walk around a ball field reading a book while I'm walking with the fence of the ball field in my peripheral vision so that I wouldn't wreck while I'm reading and walking, because that was the only way I could read and gain attention. And he said, I'm going to give you the strength to do things you couldn't have done before. I'm going to give you the ability to study for hours that you hadn't been able to study before. I'm going to give you the ability to focus and learn how to focus and do things that you've never done before. And when I do it, guess what? I, God, am going to be glorified because I'm going to be giving you the strength to do what you didn't have the power to do, the wisdom to do what you didn't know how to do. I'm going to make you somebody you never could have been if I hadn't been in you. And so right now, understand that when he said to those people of Israel, and he said, I'll put my Spirit in you and you will live, and I'll settle you in your own land, then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. Guess what? If you read like the book of Nehemiah or other places, you understand that what happened next was not that all of a sudden they're just lofted up and set into a land and everything's just so easy. The reality is the battle had just begun for them, right? And they had to go through all kinds of oppositions and all kinds of struggles. The victory was guaranteed, but they had an adventure ahead of them. And God's calling you to an adventure. He's calling you to a life of obedience in relationship with a God who loves you And he's saying, I'm not calling you to get down here at this altar and expect that you'll get up and magically everything's perfect. I expect you to get up knowing that I live in you. And if I live in you, nothing's impossible for you. If I live in you, yes, you can obey me. If I live in you, yes, you can do whatever I call you to do. Yes, you can live sober. Yes, you can forgive that person. Yes, you can. He's not going to say, all of a sudden my finances are great and I've won the Reader's Digest sweepstakes. He's going to teach you how to manage your stinking money. And he's going to cause you over a long period of time to start exercising the disciplines of wisdom that he gives you with your finances until you have financial peace. God's saying, I want to get your life straight. I want you to kneel at this altar. I want you to offer your bones to me. I want to fill you with my spirit. I want you to stand in attention with the desire to do only one thing, and that is obey your commanding officer, and that's me. Okay? And so God's saying, I want to be your Lord and your God. I want to be your Father. I want to be your all, but I need to be in you. And I need to give you some strength to do what you couldn't have done on your own. So who's ready right now? I want to tell you the steps right now. Yeah, and I love hands going up. Right now, I'm going to invite you to this altar. And this altar is a place for people with dry bones. I want to ask you, number one, are you ready to acknowledge you're absolutely powerless apart from God? Are you ready to acknowledge the fact that God, apart from you, I don't have hope. I don't have any hope apart from you. I cannot get good enough to get in your favor. The reality is I'm a mess. I'm dry bones. I am hopeless apart from you. Can you confess that to God? Because if you'll confess that to God, then he'll say to you, now's a time when I can begin to do in you things that are absolutely beyond your imagination. I can do things in you that only I can do. If you acknowledge that you're powerless apart from me, I'll give you power like you never thought possible. Are you ready to acknowledge and confess I'm powerless apart from you? Secondly, I want to ask you this. Are you ready to offer your dry bones to God? Are you ready to say to him, whatever mess I've got here, whatever mistakes I've done, wherever I am, I come to you and I lay a pile of dry bones at your feet and I say, you take them and make them whatever you want them to be. Are you ready to offer your dry bones to him? Are you ready, third, to receive the gift of his Holy Spirit? Are you ready to say to him, God, I'm ready for you. You breathe the breath of physical life into me, and now I ask you that you would breathe the breath of spiritual life into me. I ask for your Holy Spirit, and if you've already given me your Spirit, I want more of you. I want more of you. I want you to fill me with you, and I want to have your power, your love, put in my heart what's in yours, in my mind what's in yours. God, I'm just ready for you to come into me today, so will you receive his Spirit? And then finally, will you stand up? Will you get off your rump? Will you stop laying around waiting for God to do a miracle? Will you stop being that dead, lifeless body laying in the dust? Will you stop thinking that that's what Christian life is, this passive existence where you say, well, God's going to do it while I lay around and do nothing? Or are you going to rise up to your feet and say, God has filled me so that I can follow him and obey him, and he's given me the power to be everything he created me to be and do all he created me to do? Are you ready to stand up and obey him and follow him? I guarantee you, if you do, he'll do things in and through you so that you and everybody around you will know he is Lord. He is God. And he does change lives. And nothing is impossible for him. Lord God, would you move in this place? Move. We can hear the rattling of bones. And we're looking for an army to rise to its feet. In Jesus' name, amen. We invite you to stand and to come if God leads you. God, you're moving, and we praise you for that, and we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. I was meeting this week with somebody that I really love, and it was a precious couple, and the husband had for years had an addiction to heroin, something that people think is hopeless. And for them, it had almost become hopeless. Is this ever going to, you know, how many times is it ever going to work? And in that face of that hopelessness, yesterday we celebrated the fact that coming up very soon in March, there's going to be a celebration of a year of sobriety and God moving. And I asked my friend, I said, what made the difference? And he said, I came to this point where I realized I already knew. God had given me so clearly. I knew what it was that I needed to do. The bones had already been brought together. Everything was lined up. I knew what needed to happen. It's just I wasn't rising up. I wasn't receiving His power and believing in His power to rise up and do what I already knew. Does that make sense? So how many people here? You've been here so many times. You've been here so many times. And you know it, that right now, the difference between today and every other day is today, I'm receiving Him into my heart and I am rising up to obedience. And He's going to give me the power to walk out this relationship with Him and to follow Him into a brand new life, into brand new relationships, into brand new everything. God, I'm ready to rise, okay? So that's you. Now, that's true for a whole lot of people in here who are already followers of Jesus, who have already asked Him into their hearts, and they're saying, yeah, but I'm ready to rise up today. And so I'm not talking to you. For all of us who are here today, God's giving you a fresh feeling, and He's showing you that He's going to take you forward. But there's some people in here today, and you're going, you know what my problem is I have been spiritually dead. I may have had a form of godliness. I may have looked like I had it going on, but I have never been spiritually alive. I have never said, God, You move in and take this life. I have never received. I've never surrendered. I've never made my life His. And so I have been spiritually dead, although I've been walking around and breathing. And today I have asked Him, and I'm asking Him now, come, Spirit of God, Lord Jesus, first, I need Your forgiveness. Please wash away all my sin. Wash it away. Take it away. I believe You died for me that I could leave this building today completely free from all of my sin and all of my mistakes and all of my past. And you're saying that to Him right now in your heart. You're saying it to Him. And you're saying to Him, all these dry bones, God, put me together. Make me everything You want me to be. And right now you're saying to Him, Lord, I need Your power. I can't do it on my own. I'm powerless. And you're saying to Him, come into my life. Come into my life. Breathe, breath of God. Just come into my life. I receive You into my life, and I ask You, make me Yours. I no longer live, but You live in me. Give me spiritual life right now. Come into my heart and my life, and give me the strength. Give me the wisdom. Give me the love. Pour out Your love into my heart that I can love like only You can love. And so, God, I give it to You. I receive this gift from You right now in Jesus' name. And now can you say to Him, God, I'm Yours forever. I'm Yours. I'm Yours forever. And I believe that You're going to give me the strength and You're going to give me the direction. And if I get knocked down, You're going to get me back up on my feet because You live in me. Today forward, I'm Yours. I'm Yours. I'm Yours. I am coming alive today. I am born again today. I'm Yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Now look, if that was you today, it's the most important decision you ever make in your life. It's the one that I made that affected everything from the way I did education to the way I did relationships and everything. It changed everything. But it was just the beginning. Does everybody understand? It was just the beginning. It was the beginning of the battle, and it's been an awesome adventure ever since. So if that was you, we're going to celebrate it. I'm going to invite you in a second to just slip up your hand and say, that's me today. Today's my day. And if you do that, we're just going to celebrate it. Is there anybody over here that says, today's my day? Just lift your hand up and just let us know that it's you. Anybody over here? This is my day today. All right. How about in the balcony? Anybody up there? This is my day. Just lift your hand real high so we can see it. All right. How about over in here? Anybody over here? This is my day. How about up here? Anybody up here? This is my day. Right there. Anybody down in here? This is my day right here, man, and right here. Anybody else? Anybody else in here? This is my day. Anybody up through here? Anybody in the balcony there that I missed? Anybody up here? How about over here? Is anybody over here? This is my day. Just lift it up. Where? Right there. Right there. You go, man. How about down in here? Anybody down in here? This is my day. Lift your hand real high and let us know. Guys, we got some new brothers and sisters in Christ. Can we give God a hand for these guys?
Thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. If you'd like to respond to today's message, or if you want to share how God is using this ministry in your life, please send us an email to media@christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following @ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for joining us, and may God bless you.